Welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Rand DeWitt, along with a man who's playing injured this week after deadlifting 650 pounds at the gym. Is that what happened, Tom?
Oh, man. I can feel it, though. I must be just getting old, because all I did was put on a shirt.
Well,
has that ever happened to you before?
No, I've never gone on the IR after putting a shirt on. No, I have not. But, you know, hey, the day is young. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. And we are presented by the incredibly awesome folks and products at Mopeka. And Tom, I got my Mopeka ProCheck here right now, which is a great thing that folks should actually be utilizing now that we're in Father's Day season, 4th of July season, summer in general. These sonar tank monitoring solutions can save you a lot of headaches.
I got mine right here in my hand. So I was actually going to try to check and see if this worked on my soda can, my Fresca. But you know what? It didn't work on a Fresca can.
Well, El Jefe from Mopeka. Remember, he was telling us about the guy that was putting it on the bottom of his a beer cup?
Apparently, yeah, you can put it on your beer can, it'll work. But yeah, this app is pretty cool. I opened up the app, and it's got all sorts of information here about your tank, the battery life of the sensor, it's Bluetooth, it's even got like this level in it to make sure that your sensor position's sitting right. But What a great tool to make sure that you don't run out of gas in the middle of your Father's Day or 4th of July grilling party that you're going to have coming up, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, these things work. They're great for residential 20-pound grills and RV tanks right through to industrial tanks greater than 90,000 gallons. Because at Mopeka, it's accuracy above everything. See what Mopeka can do for you. Go to mopeka.com. And Tommy Clark. Tommy Clark. We're going to go with that now? Tommy Clark?
No? Oh, where do you come up with this stuff at?
I Tommy Clark. I don't know. Where did, you know, there was a Tommy the Battle Cat reference that I'm still not sure where it came from. But there was something.
What are you doing for Father's Day? What are you doing for the 4th of July? Are you going to do some grilling?
I'm definitely going to do some grilling. As far as Father's Day goes, though, I've got a thing where I have no say. And my daughter and my wife just kind of, they know the things I like to do, and I like to be surprised. But when it comes to 4th of July, there's going to be grilling aplenty. There's going to be grilling aplenty.
Two big grilling holidays. So maybe we should just start our show off with at least like some safe grilling tips. What do you think?
Yeah, I've got some stuff here from the local fire department, safety tips for Father's Day season, 4th of July, and actually in general when it comes to grilling. Number one, keep your grill out from overhangs.
There you go.
Don't let those flames flare up too big. Keep it under control. Number two, watch your drinking, Tom. Fresca and vodka.
You don't want to be hammered while you're trying to run the grill, right?
Of course.
Keep it real.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a certain cruising altitude, which is okay, but don't go above that. Yep. Pay attention to what you're doing. Keep the kids and pets away from an outside grill. If you're dealing with bad weather and it's keeping you inside, do not pull your grill into the garage or any enclosed places. This should be like self-explanatory, but it's good to remind folks. And make sure you hook up the propane tank to your grill properly to avoid a leak and potential hazard. Just make sure you're looking over them as you're hooking everything together. Make sure there's nothing loose or super rusty. And as you're hooking up the lines of a new propane tank on the grill, it's a simple solution to make sure your lines are right. Some dish soap and water. Squirt it on that line and see if it bubbles.
Just check for leaks. Just a double check it. You might have not even used your grill. This might be the first time you've used it this year, right? So, right. Double checking that, making sure that's not leaking. And I'll add to that is keeping your grill clean, because a lot of these fires that happen while you're grilling is not the propane that's doing that. It's the grease from the food from a dirty grill. So cleaning your grill as well is going to help.
But some of that grease makes it taste good, though.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Just a little bit.
Taste the meat, not the heat, right?
Exactly. And Tom, we want folks to go to our website, thestateofenergy.com. Check out all our shows for the past few years. Check out some of Tom Stradamus's predictions that came true years ago. And now these things are coming to fruition. Also, you get a where to buy button. Find out where you can get propane around you. Rebates. And we're also on Instagram at The State of Energy. A great picture of Tom getting an award in D.C.
It was a fun time.
That was pretty cool. That was very cool. But let's get right into hanging out with our guests. We've got two honored guests. Can we say your honored guests?
Sure you can. Sounds right. Good to me.
From LP Gas Magazine, Editor-in-Chief Brian Richeson and publisher Brian Canaba. How'd I do?
Very good.
Oh, good. Very good. Thank you, Rand. Thank you, Tom.
LP Gas Magazine.
We get a lot of content from you guys. Thank you very much. It's an amazing resource for the propane industry and actually just the common folk as well.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. We do our best to provide the best information for the industry. So thanks for the invite to come on here, guys. This is awesome. It's fantastic. Been following you guys a little bit. Very entertaining, but very educational as well. So great job to you guys.
And you guys got a chance to hang out with Tom at Propane Days in D.C. Did he do anything that we need to know about?
Well, we could talk about that after this. So
the state of energy after dark, right, Tom?
Absolutely. Some photos too. So
excellent.
Yes.
You guys were in D.C. Supporting the industry, which is kind of cool because I mean, you guys are magazine publishers and to have the reporters or publishers or the editor there involved with the industry where you actually get that hands-on you're on top of it and you're involved and you're in the middle of it, so I really appreciate you guys showing up and supporting the industry indirectly or directly like that. That's great.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. I mean, as you know, the propane industry, it's just one of the best industries I've ever been in. I mean, everybody supports themselves in any way possible, and it's just the nicest people in the world. So anything we can do to always support it or to report on it or to just keep everybody abreast of what's happening, you know, that's our job is to do that. So we need to be where things are going on, especially when you're going to the Hill and talking and trying to educate the congressmen and congresswomen on all the things that are happening in our industry. I think it's very important for us to be there, especially for Brian, to report back to the industry. Hey, here's what happened. You know, here's the support we're getting. We got a lot of support, which is fantastic. We were really excited to go and so glad we attended.
So yeah, it's always an intriguing event too, you know, the way it's run. You know, MPGA, you know, briefs the attendees and the membership about the key issues for the year. And then, you know, we take that information, go up to the Hill, and it's always intriguing to see, you know, what happens in those meetings, in the offices. You know, sometimes we get to talk to the legislator. A lot of times it's the staffer, but it's always, we get a lot out of it, and it's always, you know, a good opportunity for us to report back to the industry about what's going on in the current events and the key issues.
It was a fun time. It was good to get out and be able to see those guys again. But let's talk about you guys for a second. So it's Brian and Brian.
Brian and Brian.
We hear that a lot.
Brian and Brian show.
The Brian and Brian show. So one of you is the editor and the other one's a publisher.
The publisher is Canaba and editor in chief is Richeson.
That is correct.
So who's in charge here? Brian or Brian?
Let's just go with Brian.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because you hate to say who's in charge because we both have a lot going for the industry and for the magazine. So we hate to even put those titles on it. But for the publisher role, for my role, I'm responsible for all the marketing and the advertising and the P&L of the book and all that good stuff. So when people hear publisher, before I even got into the publishing role, I always heard publisher and go, oh, so you're a writer. And, you know, because that's what everybody thinks. So I am not that. You don't want me writing because I can write. I'll write in crayons and who knows what it's going to look like. But Brian Richeson and his team does a phenomenal job of, you know, doing all the writing and the editing and all the content that everybody reads every month. So that's their forte over there.
Yeah, just, you know, always looking for the great stories in the industry, the key issues and the topics. And, you know, definitely got to give credit to our team. Ellen Kriz is our senior editor, and she's been doing a lot of great job lately with reporting on some key stories. And Danielle Pesta is our senior digital media manager, so she handles all of the digital aspects of the magazine. So definitely have to give credit to them.
So what do you think the number one story of 2023 is so far?
Ooh. Wow.
I'll put that question to Brian.
The number one story. Well, you know, one thing stands out to me just, you know, our time in Palm Springs for the Western show, you know, talking to a lot of the exhibitors there and the truck companies, just the continued issue with the supply chain.
Yes.
I would say would have to be one of them. You know, with the trucks, you know, a lot of marketers are still waiting for, you know, some of their products. And I know there's some issues with the chassis and the other, you know, equipment that goes into, you know, making the trucks and the truck builders do what they do. So we heard that a lot out west, and I know the industry is still trying to, you know, resolve that part of it.
Did you see that Intermountain truck out there with the treads on it for snow?
That was very cool. That was very cool.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. I really like that.
Heard a lot of people talking about that. You deliver propane anywhere with that thing.
Yeah. Mount Everest.
Exactly.
But supply chain issues have hit all sorts of industries. But it's really nice to see that the tanks are starting to roll back in. So I think on a consumer level, a lot of consumers maybe have heard that there was some type of propane shortage or a tank shortage, and it really wasn't a gas shortage. There's never been we have so much propane available to the country that it was never actually a fuel shortage, but small cylinders, even larger tanks, steel in general, some of the valving was hard to get there for quite a while. But now I think we're seeing a lot of those, the steel anyway, start to come back around. But now on the transportation side, you mentioned about trucks and vehicles. I think that is a shortage that we're going to see for quite a while, even on a consumer level of a pickup or a car or something that you could probably just a few years ago, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, you just go down to the dealer and you would show up on a holiday weekend or a sales weekend, and you'd be able to get these vehicles for less than MSRP or some type of discount, and there was just an abundance of them. And now it seems like these guys, from what I understand, if you wanted to order a big semi delivery truck or even a bobtail, you're talking months, if not years, before you're going to get your hands on one of those.
Right.
So we're still hearing that from propane companies that is a challenge to get that type of equipment. And I think consumers understand that too, because you can go buy a new car and you're not going to get the one you want. But
absolutely.
Yeah, one thing we heard too, those companies that do a lot of the, you know, the truck building and provide the trucks to the marketers, you know, while they're, you know, waiting for some of that that material to come in, they're also doing a lot of repair work for companies and for marketers. So they are, you know, trying to find other productive ways to use it.
Keep things running a little bit longer than the traditional recycle replacement program.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question, because out here this past winter in California, it was freaking cold by and large on California standards. Mm-hmm. But why do you suppose there was such a low propane demand for the 2023 winter?
Well, I think it just comes back to, you know, for the U.S., just based on heating degree days. You know, we talked to a lot of companies, a lot of marketers that really had that mild winter. But I know things are a little bit different out west, right?
Yeah. It's still cold out here, considering, you know, we're coming up on 4th of July and there's still people wearing, like, you know, hoodies and long johns.
I've never seen so much snow in the mountains in the middle of June before here in Utah. There's just so much snow still, and I think the West had a great year for propane sales, but it just goes to show you how many people are on the East Coast that use propane that didn't use as much as they would typically use, which even the higher demand in the West still didn't offset the low demand on the East Coast. And you guys ran a story about that just recently, about the low demand and high production. Where do you guys gather that information from?
Yeah, we got that report from EIA, Energy Information Administration. It reported that, you know, the consumption this past winter was one of the lowest on record, at least, you know, back to 2010. They reported about 30 million barrels per month, about 1 million barrels per day. So EIA comes out with a lot of information that, you know, we track. We also have a weekly newsletter that tracks the markets for supply and demand. We've got to give credit to Cost Management Solutions, provides our weekly newsletter, Trader's Corner. So, you know, they provide a lot of information to us that we then send out to the industry, really keeping up on propane fundamentals and, you know, where supply and pricing is headed.
How long have you guys been doing this? How long has this magazine been in publication? Or is that the word?
82 years.
Wow.
82 years. 82.
And I've been here, I think, 80 of those. So it's been a while. It's been a good run. It's been a really, really good run.
Yeah, Benjamin Button's aging backwards here from what I can see.
And it's always been called the LP Gas Magazine?
LP Gas Magazine, yes.
Yeah.
We look back at some of the old issues because they're archived, of course. And boy, it's funny to look through and see some of the editorial, see some of the ads that are in there. Cause the ads, you can just imagine how different they are. There's one drive. It was this lady cooking in kitchen, and especially today, you couldn't even think about running this. And the caption was something like, where she should be cooking, you know, using propane kitchen type of thing. We stopped and looked at that and went, oh, wow.
That wouldn't work today, would it?
That you couldn't even.
We got some breaking news. You guys have just been canceled.
Yeah. I know. I was afraid to even mention that.
We haven't been canceled yet. We're not getting canceled.
Yeah, I know. We've been trying for years. And you know, it's funny that you mention, because I often talk about the folks in the propane industry are just genuinely good people. Awesome. They care about the other folks. They're fun to be around. We often talk about, it's a great opportunity right now. If you go to findapropanejob.com, if you want to change your whole career, propane industry is a great industry to be in because it's going to grow by, what, $50 billion over the next few years. What other aspects do you see for people that want to get into the propane industry? What thoughts or opportunities do you see?
I think there's obviously a lot of growth. You're seeing the new generation coming in, the younger generation coming into the industry. So it's become really young in the last 3 to 4 years. Cause we're seeing the opportunities that exist. Some of them are coming up through their own family companies, of course, but others are just coming in because they're learning more about the industry. It's one of those industries, especially today, where we're never going to be really, really high. We're never going to be really low. We're very steady and always climbing. So it's very, it's an industry where, gosh, I've been in it now a little over 23 years. And everybody who I've met, they don't leave the industry. If they leave the company, they stay in the industry in some capacity, whether they become a consultant or whatever. Because it's just one of those industries that you really can't explain as you've been in it. Because it's just, the best people you'll ever meet. They wear their hearts on their sleeves. They're great partners. And everybody supports themselves and even their competition. It's just kind of a unique industry to be in. And we're very blessed and honored to be a part of it and been in it for so long.
And just to add to that too, yeah, and definitely echo, you know, the great people in this industry, which really has kept me in it for 16 years, which is hard to believe. But just for people coming in, I would say it'd probably be a rewarding industry and career because, you know, you're involved in the energy industry and you're serving, you know, these customers on the residential, commercial, a lot of different markets with a really great fuel, a clean, reliable, low emission fuel. fuel that really makes a lot of the industry proud. So I think there's a lot of reward in joining the industry.
And when you talk about that, the age of just your business, 80-something years old,
right.
The organization I work for, the Rocky Mountain Propane Association, this is our 75th year. And you start to think, well, isn't that an old source of energy that's going to be dying? And I think you guys, you talked about that and nailed that, where there's all these younger adults coming into the business, young professionals that are in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're killing it. They're crushing it because that new blood is, they're excited. They're excited about renewable propane. They're excited about all the different opportunities that you can get with school buses and transportation and the clean energy movement that's really happening and how propane can play that role. And there's, I think, you know, there's a lot of people that would assume that this is a dying industry, but I know that we're growing gallons every year. And it is it does depend on what type of heat season you have, but the overall growth has been going up for the last 15 years, and it's not going anywhere. It's not going away anytime soon, especially with all the push for clean American-made energy.
Right. And Tom, I think you hit the nail on the head on, having a cold winter definitely helps. But this new generation coming in, they're very business savvy. So they know, hey, we can have a warm winter for three in a row. What are we going to do? So instead of just sitting on all those ideas that we've been talking about all these years, now they're pushing those through because they got to know, hey guys, we can have some warm winters in a row. So what can we do in the off season to keep those gallons flowing that may not have happened in the past? So yeah, they're adding all that into their business. So they're running their business, their propane operation, a lot differently than they have probably in the last 3 to 5 years, which again, Rand, to answer your question, that makes it exciting because there's all kinds of different opportunities that are just out there. And now they're making a move to do it instead of it just sitting idle and, oh, we'll just do what we did the year before, what my dad did the year before, or my dad's dad did the year before. That's kind of going away right now. So there's a lot more opportunities, which is really exciting for the industry.
I was going to say, being out and about too at the events and the meetings, you know, you do see more and more younger people coming into the industry, like Brian said, with the next generations. And that's exciting to see for the future. And I know MPGA has the 30 under 30 that they recognize. And, you know, we have our LP Gas Rising Leaders that we look to recognize, you know, those young up and coming leaders in the industry. So they're definitely examples of, a foundation for the future in the industry.
If there was only something like a growth summit, there was only something like that coming up. And actually, you guys have the next LP Gas Growth Summit taking place in Reunion Resort in Orlando, Florida. Great place. September 19th through the 21st. And we only got a couple of minutes left. So you want to tell us more about the Growth Summit and how people can attend?
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great segue. So thank you. Just today, a lot of propane marketers and a lot of companies selling to the propane marketers, especially today, they're looking at different ways to run their business, different unique ways to get their message out there. So we created this summit back in 2015 because we saw there was a need for something like that. So we wanted to provide a solution. So this solution is such a very, very unique opportunity for the propane industry because there's really nothing else out there that exists like this, where a marketer can come in and he wants to grow gallons, or he or she wants to become more efficient, or just maybe new day-to-day things that they want to change. So there's an opportunity for them to have these one-on-one meetings with these different companies, whether they're credit card, you know, processing companies, truck manufacturing companies, tank monitoring, fleet routing. These marketers can talk one-on-one with these companies to find out, hey, how can you help me run my business a little bit better?
And I hear Mopeka is really great.
Oh, there's that sponsorship coming at you.
And so where can people get more information about the Growth Summit taking place in Florida on September 19th through the 21st?
Sure. You can go to our site, you know, LPGas, lpgasmagazine.com. We have a link on there to go directly to our Growth Summit. And it's such a unique opportunity. It's kind of like speed dating, you know, for if to get a better conceptualized thought process of how this works. So each marketer gets about 20 minutes to talk one-on-one with different vendors out there to see how they can run their business better. And the vendors love it because they're talking to the marketers, the decision makers in their operations. So they're going to, you know, possibly do business. So if we can help build propane partnerships, that's kind of our mantra. If we can deliver those two together and they start doing business together, marketer is better and the vendor makes, you know, a good business, you know, partnership. That's what we're there for. And that's what we do. And it's been going very, very well.
Thank you guys very much. From LP Gas Magazine, Editor-in-Chief Brian Richeson and Publisher Brian Canaba. Brian and Brian, thank you very much for joining us on the State of Energy. And we hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Appreciate the invite, guys. And if we could be on again, we'd love to. And if there's anything you guys need, you know how to reach us. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much. Along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association, my name is Rand DeWitt, and we're always online at thestateofenergy.com.